Good afternoon, everyone. You know, as I've said the last, probably since July before starting a talk, is because you're in your own homes and at some level it feels a little more comfortable and a little more relaxed. During the talk, please don't sit comfortable. You know, let yourself stay in your Zazen posture. Keep your back straight, your chin's tucked in, and your heart's open. And also, please don't take any notes or feel a need to write anything down. If there's anything important that you need to remember, you will. And let it just be like snow falling, rain falling. You know, you'll get wet and it'll penetrate in the ways and at the level that it needs to for you. So relax, enjoy, and don't sit comfortably. So this weekend, I'd like to look at two cases from the Book of Equanimity, one that Carlos brought to my attention, and the other case, Jana. For no reason, I thought of these cases in different ways than I had before, after talking with them and after some supplemental reading. So today's case is number 79, titled Chang Sha's Takes a Step. And it's, as I said, from the Book of Equanimity. The preface to the assembly reads like this. The Bodhisattva, who appeared on the banks of golden sand, was a special spirit. She stuffed millet cakes in an emerald jar. Who would dare to do such a thing? If you don't enter frightening waves, how will you find fish that satisfy? Please step out with a great stride. And now the case. Chang Sha had a monk ask Master Wei, what about when you had not yet seen Nanchuan? Master Wei sat still for a little while. The monk asked, what about after seeing him? Master Wei said, nothing special. The monk returned and told Chang Sha about this. Chang Sha said, the realized person sits on the top of a 100-foot pole. He has entered the way, but it is not yet genuine. He must take a step from the top of a 100-foot pole, and worlds of the 10 directions will be his complete body. The monk said, how shall I step from the top of a 100-foot pole? Chang Sha said, mountains of Long, waters of Li. The monk said, I don't understand. Chang Sha said, the entire land is under the reign of the Empress. So like Zhao Zhou, Chang Sha was a Dharma heir of Nanchuan. And Master Hui was a Dharma brother of Chang Sha and a student at one time of Nanchuan and one of his relatively unknown successors. At some point, Chang Sha left his teacher and he became an abbot of a large training monastery. Meanwhile, Master Hui settled in the mountains. There is no telling why Chang Sha thought of Master Hui on this particular day, but he did. And he sent one of his young students to inquire into Hui's doings. I imagine Chang Sha also saw this as an opportunity to direct and encourage his student. So he sent him with a greeting and a couple questions. On arriving at the mountain hermitage, the young student asked, How was it when you had not seen Nanchuan? This is a fairly pedestrian question, isn't it? How were you before your 10 or 20 or 30 years of practice? How were you before you started to do Zazen? And then the second question, after your decades and decades of practice, after your hundreds and hundreds of session training periods and community living and work, what was it for you? How is it for you? Kuei's response to the first query was to sit still for a little while. And for the second, he said, nothing special. What do you make of that? What would you say? How would you respond? I suppose to hear the questions the way I just interpreted them, Hui's responses aren't so bad. His response is better than saying, oh, before practice, I was so neurotic, so noisy, so chatty. And now, after years of practice, I'm much calmer, peaceful, joyous, and happy. Those responses themselves are rather neurotic, noisy, and chatty. So what would you say? What would you say about life before? And then afterwards? If you say no difference, nothing special, why are you spending this entire weekend like this? And if you say, yeah, my practice over these years has really changed me, I'd say, really? Why is it you do this? What is and isn't happening for you right now? Where is your mind before you saw Nanchuan, after you saw Nanchuan? In Wu Men's comment on the Koan Mu, he wrote, what is the gateless gate of the ancestral teachers? It is just this Mu, the gateless gate of the Zen tradition. When you pass through this gate, you will not only interview Zhao Zhou intimately, you will walk hand in hand with all the ancestral teachers and the successive generations of our lineage. The hair of your eyebrows entangled with theirs, seeing with the same eyes, hearing with the same ears. Won't that be fulfilling? Who would not want to experience and to know that? Wu Men's words give a different shading to Chang Sha's question. What about? The first being, what about when you had not yet seen with Nanchuan's eyes? Yours and his eyebrows not yet entangled, walking not yet hand in hand. How about that? And Master Hui sat silently for a little. The monk said, what about after seeing him? What about after seeing with his eyes and he seeing with your eyes. And Master Hui said, nothing special. Hu Men said, after seeing with the same eyes, hearing with the same ears, walking hand in hand with all the teachers of the past, won't that be fulfilling? Won't that be wonderful? A joy. And Master Hui said, nothing special. Hui doesn't yet truly understand that ordinary mind is the Tao. He hasn't noticed that the pink-fingered dawn brings a fresh palate each morning. He hasn't noticed that the dead horse on the edge of the pasture swallowed the previous evening's moon. And he hasn't noticed that the unceasing winter rain never has the same smell. And he hasn't noticed that not even one snowflake falls where he so stubbornly sits. At Aiken Roshi's descending the mountain ceremony, he gave Teisho, and then a mat was put before him so he could respond to questions and comments. At one point, a longtime practitioner, Zen priest, abbot, and teacher approached and said, another ordinary day. Roshi said, do you really think so? And the person said, nothing special. Roshi said, look at the sunset colors pouring into the room. Hear the thrush calling from a branch of your heart. But the person stuck to ordinary mind, nothing special. Changsha said, the realized person sits on the top of a 100-foot pole. He has entered the way, but it is not yet genuine. He must take a step from the top of the pole, and worlds of the 10 directions will be his complete body. The long-time practitioner sitting in front of Aiken Roshi and Master Hui himself had the condition of nothing special. This is a very important state of mind and practice. Everything has fallen away. There is no male or female, sacred or profane, enlightenment or delusion. There is no Buddha, Bodhisattva, or ordinary person. There's no Jew, Catholic, Muslim, Buddhist, or pagan. No white, black, yellow, or red. This is the realization of equality and emptiness, where there is no other, no self. There is no eye, ear, nose, tongue, body, mind. This is the non-differentiated landscape of the Heart Sutra. And this is the top of the 100-foot pole. Basho wrote it this way. On a withered branch, a crow is perched, an autumn evening. But this branch, this top of the pole, is no place to stay. It's no place to put up a tent or to build a home, because it has no power for the way. For after all, the lotus flower lives in the mud, and it blooms in the midst of fire. I am reminded here of a story in the Bible from the New Testament. It can be found in Matthew and in Mark. And the following is from the New English Translation. It reads like this. Later, Jesus took Peter and the two brothers, James and John, and led them up a high mountain to be alone. As the men watched, Jesus' appearance was transformed so that his face shone like the sun and his clothes became as white as light. Suddenly, Moses and Elijah appeared and began talking with Jesus. Then a bright cloud overshadowed them and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my dearly beloved son who brings me great joy. Listen to him." The disciples were terrified and fell face down on the ground. And then Peter exclaimed, "It is wonderful for us to be here. If you want, we will make three shelters as memorials." Another translation says, "If you want, we will put up three tents for you." But Jesus came over and touched them and said, "Get up." And he led them down the mountain. The tale continues, but I'll stop there. Peter, James, and John were touched by the noumena. They heard the voice of no voice speaking words of no words. They were on a high mountain that has no top. And the first thing Peter said was, "We can put up tents right here, or we can build memorials," implying, hoping, I imagine, that we can stay right here in the mystical, right here in the magical, right here in the mysterious unknown. This is the top of the 100-foot pole. But Jesus touched them and led them down the mountain. When Shakyamuni Buddha saw the morning star for the very first time, he did not immediately get up. He sat for three more days on top of the 100-foot pole. He then realized that sitting under the tree had no power for the way, and so he rose to find his friends and tell them of the good news. It is okay to sit on top, but at some point you must take a step from. And the worlds of the 10 directions will be your complete body. Jesus knew this, and so they went down the mountains and entered the village to find their friends, to make vinegar into wine and rocks into loaves of bread to feed the community. Shakyamuni Buddha knew this, and after rising from under the Bodhi tree said, "Now I see that all beings from the very beginning are enlightened, but each must realize this for herself. Each must realize this for himself." And so he too went into town to teach and to encourage his fellow practitioners to realize personally. On another occasion, Cheng Sha said, "Better than autumn dew falling on lotus flowers is to go out walking, pursuing the fragrant grasses, and to return following the falling flowers." That was his stepping from the 100-foot pole. Just like it is for a friend who arranges flowers each day for her home altar, though no one else will ever see them. Just like it is playing the shakuhachi for the neighbor's kitty cat. And just like it is giving a buck to the hopeless alcoholic on his regular street corner. The student monk who Changsha sent to query Master Hui wasn't yet sure of all of this, and so he asked, "How shall I step from the top of a 100-foot pole?" This monk is noble. He is one who has come to know. And so he puts himself out there, allowing his own vulnerability to show, which is in and of itself taking a step from the 100-foot pole. This is entering the frightening waves to find the sacred carp. But what if you have not yet had this experience of each and everything falling away? What if you've not yet had this experience of no eyes, ears, nose, tongue, body, mind? What if you only know the Heart Sutra from the words of your teacher and your teacher's teacher? What if that is your understanding of the heart? How then does this koan story relate to you and to your life? To his student's question, "How do I step forth?" Changsha said, "The mountains of Long, the waters of Li. The entire land and its creatures, sentient and insentient, tall or short, strong or weak, visible or invisible, already born or yet to be born, all are under the reign of the Empress. This means that each and every situation is an opportunity to step off of and to step into. It's an opportunity to open your heart, to not only show, but be your vulnerability, your brokenness, your places with cracks. And wherever you hold back, whenever you hesitate, whatever fear, anxiety, trepidation, or habit energy that limits you, that, in that moment, is your 100-foot pole. Wherever you hold back, wherever you hesitate, whatever limits you, that is your 100-foot pole, and the Empress is inviting you into her wall-less palace. She is inviting you to make it your land. She's inviting to make it your home, to make it your place. In this way, you will know the Empress as no other than your very own self. And you will know this place is the top of the 100-foot pole, which you constantly step from with 1 foot forward, and then 1 step back, and 1 step forward, and 1 step back again and again and again, lifetime after lifetime after lifetime. Changsha said to his assembly, "The entire universe is in your eye. The The entire universe is your total body. The entire universe is your own light. The entire universe is within your own light. In the entire universe, there is no one that is not your own self. So please take one more step with your in-breath, a step with your out-breath, a step, and continually and constantly take that step with hands open and eyes completely closed.